Welcome to 8 from the 8th, the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis Community Development Podcast Series. I'm Lisa Locke with the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. Small businesses are a key factor in the economic recovery of the United States, and they account for more than half of the nation's private workforce. Small businesses add value by creating jobs, enhancing incomes, and strengthening purchasing power. However, for many businesses, from startups to expanding, they seek support services from technical assistance providers such as small business development centers and women's business centers. Technical assistance providers offer guidance in areas such as marketing, management, finance, and strategic planning. Today I'm speaking with Joanne Randolph, President and CEO of the Women's Business Center of North Alabama. Women's Business Centers are a national network of nearly 100 educational centers designed to assist women start and grow small businesses. Joanne's background includes experience in entrepreneurship, business management, mentoring, business incubation, international marketing, and telecommunications. Joanne, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you for having me on this podcast.
Great. Welcome. Can you tell us how the Women's Business Center of North Alabama got started?
Yes, Lisa. Back about 13 years ago, a group of professional women got together to talk about a place where women could go not only to get assistance in starting a business, but get the supporting encouragement that they sometimes need to start a business. And so we formed a steering committee, and we conducted due diligence for about 3 years, and we learned a few things that were very important. One was we did a needs assessment in our community, and that study affirmed that there was a need for such a center and such services. We also learned during that due diligence that the SBA funded women's business centers around the country, but we also learned that you had to be serving clients for a year, at least a year, before you could even apply for the SBA grant. So we started serving clients with an all-volunteer board, and I'll tell you, the demand for our services quickly outpaced the volunteers' time. So we knew that there was a need, and then we did apply for our grant. We got it in 2006. And the final thing that we learned during that due diligence that came as a surprise to us was that men would come to our Women's Business Center. That's okay. We just didn't realize that they would come.
Wow, that's great, and certainly sounds like there's a need there. What services does the center provide for small business owners in your community?
Well, we provide the typical services that other women's business centers would provide. So in addition to the support and encouragement that I think is real important, we also provide business coaching. We have dozens of business coaches who are subject matter experts in every kind of discipline you can imagine, from marketing to finance to restaurants to franchising, you know, et cetera. And our business coaching is totally free, so a client can meet with as many business coaches as they want, as often as they want, and it's free. I will say this. I think one thing that we do that really helps our clients to move forward is that in our first session, and in every session, actually, we come up with an action plan to move them forward. And so we put on there, you need to write a business plan, or you need to go to QuickBooks class or whatever, and we put due dates on it. And our clients tell us they love that because it holds them accountable, not to us, but to themselves. And they tell us that it helps them stay focused on the things that they need to be focused on and doing things in the right order, because oftentimes we see people come in here with the cart before the horse. And so that helps. We also offer quality business education. Now, again, we have the subject matter experts that lead these workshops for us, and we do charge nominal fees for those workshops, but we offer scholarships to anyone that is qualified because we want to make sure that the people that really need this training can afford to take it. Of course, we offer access to financing and a lot of times networking opportunities. I tell people we're building the good old girl network here in North Alabama.
Well, great. That is great to hear. Is there anything about the WBCNA that makes you unique in your community?
Well, that's a good question, Lisa. And a lot of people have asked me that over the years. You know, they tell us from, state, regional, we hear people say, we hear all kinds of great things about the Women's Business Center of North Alabama. What is it that makes you different? And I never could answer that question until recently. And I finally have been able to articulate what I think it is. And that is the formula for our success is and can be summed up in three words, and then some. We do what's expected of us, and then some. We go that extra mile for our client. We take a true interest, genuine interest in them and what they're trying to do, and we go beyond the call of duty, and I think that's what sets us apart. But it's also about how you make people feel, I think. You probably know people will forget what you say. People will forget what you do, but people will never forget how you make them feel. And so that's very important to us, that we offer, welcoming open arms to anyone that comes to us for assistance. We also look for opportunities to provide programs that no one else is doing. For example, we brought Fast Track, a comprehensive entrepreneurial program, to North Alabama about 10 years ago. And we're the only organization in North Alabama that is certified to offer that. So that's one of our unique sell-in propositions, if you will. We also were the first organization, and I think the only organization, that offers the one-page business plan training. We're the only organization that offers Money Smart for Small Business, which is a program developed by jointly by the SBA and FDIC. And so we take pride in being, the first or the only organization in North Alabama to offer, valuable programs like those in North Alabama.
Well, great. That uniqueness really stands out, and those are great things. But we know with technical assistance providers, there's the issue of funding also, and quite a few providers rely on, say, federal fundings or grants. Can you tell us how North Alabama Center is funded?
Yeah, as you know, Lisa, in today's economy, nonprofits really struggle with fundraising and keeping the doors open. So we've developed four major revenue streams here at the Women's Business Center of North Alabama. First of all, we do have grant revenue, but it's not just SBA. We've received USDA grants, we've received grants from TVA, and we've received grants from local foundations. And I think that's probably true of any Women's Business Center as they look for other grant resources as well as the SBA. More importantly, the second revenue stream is earned income. I think that we all should be focused on how can we become self-sufficient, and we can do that by providing services for fees and earning our income. And so our earned income includes workshop fees, sponsorships, contracts. We get contracts from different entities to do work for them, special programs we offer to special events every year, and other business services such as our Board of Advisors program. I'll tell you, my mantra has been for the last few years, recurring revenue. That has been one thing that I have really focused on as the CEO here is, how can we develop programs that will generate recurring revenue for this center? And the Board of Advisors was one such program that we established. And this is for existing clients. And that was another thing that I've been focused on is, there's a perception that we're just for startups, but we wanted to make sure that people know that we can help you grow your business as well as start your business, because, at the end of the day, that's what we're all about, is helping small businesses to get started, to grow, and to hire, because we are about jobs creation. But what we do for existing companies that are poised to grow is we establish a board of advisors. And this is where we recruit three top-tier advisors who are carefully matched to the client company and what their strategic direction is and what their needs are. who meet with them quarterly to help them to get up out of the day-to-day operations and work on the business and think strategically. That program has proved to be very beneficial for those existing companies that have been interested in growing. The third revenue stream, of course, is in-kind. Our office space is donated. All of our business coaches are volunteers, and all of our subject matter experts who do our training are volunteers. So that makes up our in-kind revenue stream. And then finally, contributions. As you know, most of the federal grants do require matching funds. And so we have a major fundraiser that's been around since about 2006, and a minor fundraiser. The major fundraiser is called the Society of 75, and this is where we ask 75 companies to pledge $1,000 a year for 5 years to help us with that grant match. We also came up with a minor fundraiser last year called Clients Pay It Forward. For years, our clients have been wanting to give back and help us, and the Society of 75 was not something that they could do. It was too much, $1,000 a year. So we came up with Clients Pay It Forward, and this is where they pledge $10 a month to give back. And we've just kind of announced that in the last year, and so we have 15 or 20 members so far. But you know, it's a way for them to give back, and we have made it beneficial for them to be members. It pretty much pays for itself. And that was the other recurring revenue model that I had been working on for quite a while to get implemented here in North Alabama.
Well, that Society of 75 sounds like a very innovative concept. Can you give us a little bit more detail about that and how that got started?
Sure. When we were applying for the SBA grant, we talked a lot about how are we going to raise $75,000 every year to match that grant. And so we talked about different kinds of fundraisers, you know, golf tournaments, wine tastings, that sort of thing. And we really were concerned about those kind of events because you never know how much money you might be able to make. So we came up with this idea. It wasn't my idea, so I can't take credit for it. But in hindsight, it was brilliant. It was actually the dean of the business school at our local university that gave us this idea. He said, why don't you just ask 75 companies for $1,000 a year for 5 years? And that there's your $75,000 match. And we're like, okay. So we did that, and it like I said, it was brilliant. It was a great idea. We've got money coming in every month throughout the year as people's society memberships renew and that sort of thing. So to date, Lisa, we have recruited 161 members of the society, which is you know, far more than we ever expected. But a lot of them have already paid in full, so we're continually replenishing society members, you know, that have met their first five-year commitment, and a lot of those are signing up for another 5 years. And then some of them had to drop out, you know, after one or more years. So we had about 28 drop out. And we've had about 56 paid in full. So the board, you know, is continually trying to replenish our society members so that we can meet our grant match as well as continue to grow the organization. I will say this, when you look at the composition of our membership in the Society of 75, the majority of the members are small businesses. You know, when we were putting this together, we were thinking $1,000 a year is nothing. It's not a blip on the radar for one of these big companies like a Boeing, you know, or an SAIC. But we also felt like it was small enough that small businesses could participate as well. And we see that the majority are small businesses. Many of our society members are women-owned businesses. Many of them are service providers, such as accountants, attorneys, bankers, and insurance agents. And they see it as being a good match for us because our client base is their target market. And so we're really thrilled about the Society of 75 and the success we've had with it. And many other women's business centers around the country have emulated this program and started their own. So I'm pleased that we could help others in the industry. I think SBA has asked me to speak about this about 6 different occasions at the national conferences and on podcasts or webinars. So I'm glad that a program that we developed, you know, can be helpful to others around the country.
Well, that's great. You may see that take off on a national level. What would you say are the benefits to the contributors for the Society of 75?
Okay, well, that was something, you know, the first thing we kind of did when we decided to move forward with this fundraiser is talk about what's in it for them. What's in it for somebody to join the society? And, you know, people contribute and become society members for a variety of reasons. So the benefits vary with each member. So we classify our benefits in 3 categories. First, it's the economic impact. And this is where, you know, we're helping create new jobs by helping small businesses to get started, to grow, and to hire. We're also bringing new federal dollars into Huntsville. And this money helps provide, you know, matching dollars. And a lot of our contributors, that was all that they needed to hear, is that we're bringing new federal dollars into our community. And so we're also supporting some highly focused outreach programs for small businesses that require customized assistance. One is our Government Procurement Assistance Center, and the other one is our Veterans Business Assistance Center. Living in Huntsville, Alabama, you know, we are a government contracting mecca, and we have a lot of veterans here, and so we had a lot of small businesses coming to us that wanted to do business with the government. We have a lot of veterans coming to us who are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan who want to start a business or resume one. So we, you know, every women's business center has to customize their offerings to their community, and that's why we did that. The second impact is the social impact of the society members' contribution, because by supporting us, they're helping us reach sectors of the population that are currently underserved by other programs, you know, such as, you know, people that are economically and socially disadvantaged. And, you know, we're trying to break that cycle of poverty and help families become self-sufficient through entrepreneurship. And then finally, there's a marketing impact. We give our society members, if they're interested, and this is where your service providers are more interested in the marketing impact, we give them opportunities to be a presenting sponsor at some of our programs and provide a subject matter expert to lead the workshop. And this gives them the opportunity to showcase their firm's expertise in a specific business arena. We give them recognition at events and in printed materials. We also include them in our website. They're all listed on our website. We have an annual stakeholders meeting for them to give them an update on how they've made an impact. We profile them in a press release that concerns job creation, economic development, and how this company is giving back to the community and investing in the growth of our community. And these press releases, you know, we've built up a pretty substantial database over the years. I think it's close to 14,000 now. And so those press releases are distributed to thousands of stakeholders that include clients, board members, sponsors, mentors, investors, elected officials, local and regional media, and many more. And, of course, they have a link on our website where they're where visitors to our website can go to their website. And then we also give them an opportunity to get introduced at an event.
Great. That kind of covers my next couple of questions about the economic impact and then kind of the social and marketing impact. But it sounds like from this subsidy of 75, the contributors are some of the impact has been new jobs, new federal dollars, some branding, some endorsements. So you're able to offer all of that to the contributors. So they're getting quite a bit for their $1,000 a year for 5 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, WBC help create jobs in the communities they serve by helping small businesses to get started, to grow, and to hire. Now, you know, a lot of times entrepreneurial jobs are kind of overlooked. But, you know, when somebody starts a business, they have created one job for themselves. When you look at the state of Alabama, for example, when you look at all small businesses in Alabama, there's about 380,000 or so small business in Alabama. 80% are entrepreneurial jobs or, you know, non-employers. So that's huge, and
right,
that's so important to our state, and I know it's important to every state. So even if they just have one employee, they're still important to our economy. They are the backbone of our economy, like you said in your opening remarks.
Well, great. So I know you mentioned also that some other WBCs have been looking at this model. What would you tell them? What are some of the lessons learned that you could share about some of your fundraising efforts that you've learned from this Society of 75?
Well, that's a good question, too, Lisa. I think one of the things that has been really helpful to us is to leverage the relationships that the board members have with prospective members. As you know, there are people that you know that you can contact that will support you because of your relationship with them and, you know, perhaps the things you've done for them over the years, and they can't say no to you, right? Well, you know, board members and their relationships are critical, I think, to the success of the Society of 75. I think you also need to recruit board members who have fundraising experience. You know, a lot of people aren't comfortable with that, but, you know, our board is responsible for recruiting these members, so it's important that they know up front, you know, when you're inviting them to come on the board, that that's going to be expected of them. We have them sign a board commitment letter to that effect. We also need to recruit board members who know people with deep pockets, and we need people that, you know, are willing and able to make the call to set up that meeting, you know, with that prospect. But I think most importantly is that the board needs to make it a priority and to set goals and to hold board members accountable. And I think those are some really key lessons that we've learned over the years.
Well, great. Thank you so much, Joanne, for joining us today.
Happy to do it, Lisa. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Joanne Randolph, President and CEO of the Women's Business Center of North Alabama. For more information about the WBC, you can visit www.wbcna.org. For more information about 8 from the 8th, the St. Louis Fed podcast series, please visit www.stlouisfed.org/community-development. Be sure to tune in again for more great interviews with leading professionals in the field of community and economic development, and thanks for listening.